The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful portion of Scripture. Lord, the disciples said to Jesus, Teach us to pray. And I pray, Lord, that as we listen and examine and study and preach on the response of Christ, that you also would give us instruction, Lord, prayer instruction. Lord, teach us to pray. And I ask, Lord, for your help as I preach the message this morning. I do pray for that one that may be here without Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Lord, that by the end of the day, as we dismiss, Lord, they'll be able to also say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Lord, bring them under conviction. Help them to understand you want to save them and you will save them. Lord, bless what we will teach this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Very, very interesting portion of Scripture as we see Jesus respond to a request. First of all, let me point this out in verse number 1. The disciples heard Jesus pray. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and just listen to him pray? There's certain men in this church that from time to time I have the opportunity on a Wednesday night, as at the end of the service we have prayer time. And I love that time in our church family's life. I pray that everyone here that is here on a Wednesday night participates in that. It's nothing we require. We don't put guards at the back door. But let me say this. The church ought to come together in united prayer. It ought to be a standard thing. And I like to listen to other men pray. I like to pray. But I like to listen to other men pray. I like to hear Brother Charles English pray. I do. There's an intimacy in his talk with the Lord. There, you can tell that this isn't the only time of the week that he gets on his knees and spends some time praying. I like that. I'll be honest with you, one of the things I miss horribly is from time to time, I tried not to be the only one that would attach myself to Dad during prayer time, but every once in a while, I'd go over and say, Dad, let's pray together. How many of you have spent some time praying with my father and listened to my father pray? And there again was it was just amazing to be in his presence, listening to him as he was in God's presence. And so, all that being said, can you imagine what it would have been like to listen to Jesus pray? Oh my goodness sake. So after he got done, they said, Wow, Lord, could you teach us to pray? Would you teach us to do what you just did? And we see in the next few verses, the next 13 verses that I read, we see verses 1 through 4, Jesus teaches them or gives them what to pray. In verses 5 through 10, he teaches them how to pray. And then verse 11 through 13, he teaches them what to expect when they pray. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's just spend some time letting Jesus teach us this morning how to pray. First of all, let's examine the model prayer. Now, he said in verse number 2, and he said unto them, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, I'm not going to go to all of the other places in the Gospels where you find what we call the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. But let me say this. If you're going to do a thorough examination study of it, you ought to go to all parts. Remember, the Gospels never contradict each other. They just complete each other. And so we can see the entirety of the prayer by taking all of the accounts and all of the elements and putting them together and then studying the Lord's Prayer. This is the model prayer. He said, okay, all right, you want me to give you kind of an elementary lesson on prayer. Let me just give you a very simple outline. Let me give you some simple ingredients that you ought to include in your prayer. What are these ingredients? First of all, let me say this. Jesus taught them to come boldly to God with the knowledge that we have an intimate relationship with Jehovah God. Now, some of us here are so used to the Lord's Prayer, and we've said it and heard it so much, we cannot really understand the impact that it must have had on the disciples when they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus said, when you pray, pray thus, "Our Father." Now we just take that for granted. Most of the time when I call somebody to prayer and to do public prayer, most of people in here will say and address the Lord as Father. And it's not wrong to call him other things. Good night. There's some wonderful titles that the Lord Jesus Christ has and that God the Father has. But to say "Our Father," I can almost picture the disciples' face. You got to understand, folks, all they had up to this point was the Old Testament, and God was Jehovah. God was the one that was holy yet unapproachable. He was the one that said, "Don't come close to the mountain lest I break upon thee." Only Moses. And from that, all of a sudden, Jesus says, because I've come, and because of what I'm going to do on Calvary, and because the price I'm going to pay, and because I'm going to make salvation available, you now have the opportunity to approach the throne of grace and say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Now, folks, let me say this. As a born-again Christian, you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, seeing then that we have a high priest, a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now the teaching here, Jesus is saying, I'm going to throw the doors open. I'm going to make it so that you can come right into the presence of God. You know, the tabernacle and the temple later on and the curtain and the Holy of Holies that was inaccessible to the average man. That veil's going to rip from top to bottom. And you know what? I'm going to open it up so that anybody that's born again can come right boldly into the throne of grace and say, "Our Father which art in heaven." Boy, that's exciting as a Christian. Now let me say this, that invitation, I want to say this because I don't know who's here today. That invitation and that intimacy is only available to those of you that have been born again. If you've never been born again, you cannot go boldly to the throne of grace, because the only way we can approach God is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And until you accept the shed blood of Jesus Christ as payment for your sin, you do not have that open invitation. Several years ago, there was an argument and a controversy that got stirred up in theological circles concerning whether or not God heard the prayers of lost people. And let me say this, the biblical answer in that is yes, he will hear a prayer of a lost person. A prayer. The prayer that you pray when you truly repent and turn to Jesus Christ as your Savior, God will listen to that prayer. But the idea that a lost person can bypass the blood of Jesus Christ and come boldly to the presence of God and expect to be heard is blasphemy. You know what? There's a lot of good reasons to get saved, but this is a real good reason. You know what? Once you're saved, you have access to the throne of grace. You can address God as the Father. Your entire relationship changes with God. No longer does he stand and look at you as one that is wicked and lost and doomed and damned. What he looks at is a child who he welcomes into his presence. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Our Father which art in heaven. So he's teaching them how to pray. He says, come boldly. Then he says this, come praising. Hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed means to holy, pure, sanctified, consecrated. Be thy name. Come praising, knowing that the Heavenly Father is worthy of our worship. One of the things that I would encourage you, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but these are elements of prayer. Sometimes people wonder, why don't I get my prayers answered? You know what? Before you ask the Lord for anything, you ought to spend some time worshiping and praising God for who he is. Too many times Christians, they bypass the Father relationship. They bypass a time of praise and worship. They just run to God with their list as if they're ordering around some servant boy. And by the way, the Bible says, hallowed be thy name. I don't like this contemporary approach of prayer. I'm going to say another word about it in just a little bit here. But let me say this, folks. This whole idea of talking to God in some hippie format. He is your Father, but he's also God. He is your Father, but he is also holy. He is your Father, but he's also pure and consecrated and sanctified. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know what? It wouldn't even hurt us every once in a while to come to the Father and do nothing but just praise and pray some other time. I mean, that's what worship is. Brother Jerry, do you practice praise and worship here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church? Well, I hope so. But if you think that that's some kind of a stage show, then you have no idea what praise and worship truly is. Because most every place in the Bible, there are a few exceptions, but most every place in the Bible that praise and worship takes place, it takes place individually, privately, between a born-again believer and the Father. And so come praising the Lord, knowing that our Heavenly Father's worthy of worship. And then we thank the Lord. We can come asking. We see that he tells us how to address the Father and then how to praise the Father. And then he gives us a list of things to pray for. And I'm not going to reteach these things, but I taught a Sunday school lesson a couple weeks ago about, by the way, hey, there's some pretty good things taught around here during the Sunday school hour. Just thought I'd throw that in every once in a while. I'm glad you come whenever you come. But there's some pretty good things taught around here during the Sunday school hour at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Let me encourage you to come to Sunday school. There's seven things that Jesus asked us to pray about on a regular basis. Say, what are they? I'm not going to tell you. You didn't come to Sunday school. And if you did come to Sunday school, you'd already know what they are. But the Bible says here, gives us some of those seven things. He says, come asking. And notice what we are to ask for. He says, thy kingdom come. Pray for Christ's kingdom to come. Thy will be done. Pray for God's will to be done on earth the same way it's done in heaven. By the way, I think that ought to happen at Blessed Oak Baptist Church here. You know, folks, we can't control what happens out there in the world. And everybody here that knows the Bible knows that God's will is not being done on earth in this present culture. But there ought to be some place that's a little piece of heaven, a little part of heaven. Some place where, you know what, God can look down and say, you know what, for a few hours a week, looky there, there's one spot where my will is being done on earth the same as it is done up in heaven. And then he goes on to say that we are to pray for daily provision. Give us day by day our daily bread. And then for forgiveness, the Bible goes on in verse number 4 that we ought to pray and ask God to forgive us. You say, preacher, every day? Well, I'd hope. I remember one guy in college, they end up kicking him out. There was a guy in college, Brother Hiles heard wind of it, came and had one of those revival meetings during chapel and kicked out some students. But one of the guys that was there, an upperclassman in college, began to go around and spread false doctrine in the college. He got up on a night bus to preach to some guys and said that it had been 28 days since he'd sinned. Okay. So I guess he didn't need to pray for forgiveness for 28 days. So I don't know if it had been 28 days since he sinned, but if it had been, he ended the streak right there because he just told a whopper. Now, the honest truth is we're a mess. Come on now. Come on. Don't get self-righteous. Don't get pious on me. You know, the honest truth is we take a good look in the mirror of God's Word. Anytime you sit down with the mirror of God's Word, it has a way of showing you real quick that you're not everything you ought to be. Sometimes, folks, just during the reading of the Bible, as God brings to light one of my many imperfections, I have to stop reading and get on my knees and say, God, there's something that I'm not doing very well. There's something that I've failed at this week. There's something, dear God, that I shouldn't do, or something I should do that I'm not doing. And folks, the honest truth is, we, every one of us, probably ought to make a part of almost every prayer we ever pray, a time of confession before God and asking God to forgive us of our sins. And then the prayer there at the end for deliverance from temptation, deliverance from evil. And folks, boy, that's a good thing to pray. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. It seems like every time we leave the house, there's a multitude of traps waiting for us and Satan's waiting just outside the door. Folks, he hits you all day long. Lord, deliver me from temptation. Lord, please lead me not to temptation, deliver me from evil. So he teaches us we can come asking. So we come boldly, we come praising, we come asking, and then we come expressing faith in God's ability to answer. Now this last phrase of the Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew's account. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. I just want to share this with you real quick because I got such a blessing out of it. That last little phrase, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know what Jesus was saying? After you come and recognize your relationship so you can come boldly, after you spend some time praising, after you spend some time asking, he said, be sure and express your faith in God's ability to answer. Because that's what that little phrase is all about, for thine. He said, now, Lord, would you do this? 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 And so we ask some things. And then he says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me share with you what that little phrase means. When he says, thine is the kingdom, he's saying, you possess the position. You possess the position to answer my request and the power. You possess the power to answer my request and the glory. You are honorable. You possess the honor to be trusted to answer forever. You possess eternity. You indwell eternity. Lord, I know that if you want to, you can do this because you're always going to be there. And then that little last word, did you see it? You ever thought about when somebody ends their prayer and says amen, what they're saying? The word amen there means to be sure of, trustworthy, so be it, faithful. So this last phrase expresses to the Lord that we have supreme confidence in Him to answer our prayers. That's what James is talking about. We studied this on a Wednesday night. Hey, do you know what? There's some pretty good things taught here on a Wednesday night. Just every once in a while I want to throw this out, you know. There's some real good things. I mean, there's some amazingly good things taught here on a Wednesday night. Why? Because you're preaching or teaching? No, because we preach and teach this book right here. And we grill some meat. Brother Val was back there praying today, and he said, as he prayed for his preacher this morning, he said, Lord, the preacher's been bringing us some real meat. and some things that sometimes are hard for preachers to say. Lord, embolden him. Help him to not be afraid, to have the boldness to say the things and preach the things that need to be preached. Hey, we grill some pretty good meat. Anybody like steak here? Now, folks, this is good stuff. Don't get me wrong. This is good stuff. But Sunday mornings, we don't get into as much meat on Sunday mornings as we do during Sunday school and as we do on a Sunday night. We do as a Wednesday night. And as you grow in grace, I'm glad that newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the world. But you know, if I don't have a problem watching a mama walk around here and feeding a 6-month old baby with a bottle, but I don't understand it when there's a 34-year-old guy that's got a bottle in his hip pocket and every once in a while starts swigging on that thing. Now, the milk of the word's good when you're first starting out, but hey, if you really want to grow in the Lord, come to where we grill the meat. So it was there, so I thought I'd just say it. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My mama and my daddy sure did a favor for me when they got saved. They decided in a very short amount of time, you know what? If we're going to be Christians, we're going to be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night Christians. And I thank God for what I didn't miss out on as a child growing up, because they kept me under the good, solid preaching of the Word of God. Okay, so we see the model prayer. Now, I want to examine, if you will, with me this wonderful parable. The mode, can I use that word? The mode of prayer. Now, here's a little story. Remember, they said, teach us to pray. So he said, okay, I'm going to give you an outline. I'm going to give you a beginner prayer. But then I also want to teach you something, so I'm going to tell you a story. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? And And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. That's exciting. You get a knock on the door at midnight. Surprise! You said, preacher, he should have called ahead. Y'all are so used to cell phones, you actually probably... No, they didn't have that opportunity. Okay? And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because, here's the word, because of his importunity. Preacher, what is that? Well, we're going to teach you that. He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And he said, I'm going to teach you what to pray, and I'm going to teach you how to pray. It's very important for every Christian, even if you're in the beginning stages, if you're just now developing a prayer life, it's very important that early on you understand the doctrine of importunity, because it's essential in getting your prayers answered. Now, let me break down this story for you real quickly, and let's learn some things from it. Number one, the prayer that was prayed here. And by the way, prayer is asking. Prayer is asking. I said you could go to the Lord sometimes and just worship and praise and give thanksgiving and never ask for anything. And you know what? You worshiped and you had a time of praise and you had a time of thanksgiving, but you didn't pray, because prayer is asking. And it's okay to do that sometimes. We're to praise the Lord. We're to worship the Lord. We're to give thanksgiving to the Lord. We don't always have to ask, but when we ask, that's when we pray. The prayer was a result of an unexpected need. Now, this was unexpected. Boy, let me give you just some encouragement here. So, preacher, give me some motivation. I need it. Why should I always stay right with God? Because you never know when you're going to need to get quick access to the throne of grace. That's why you ought to stay confessed up. That's why you ought to keep a short list. That's why you ought to stay right with God. I mean, what in the world does a backslidden, hard Christian do when they get into crisis? You think all of a sudden you're just going to saunter in? You got some confessing to do. You got some things to work out. Bible principle. Your iniquity can stand between you and the ear of God. You don't know when you're going to need to hit your knees and go right to the throne of grace and be able to look up and say, Father! Well, I've got time. There's people standing in this room right now that'll tell you there was times they didn't have any time. They needed something now. You ever had an emergency in your family? You didn't have a didn't have an hour to go through and try to sort things out with God. Didn't have an hour to get 2 hours or 5 hours to get in the car and go around making things right with people. Remember, forgive me as I'm willing to forgive others. You know why your preacher has to stay right with God? Because my phone rings all the time. Preacher, this is happening. Listen, I can't. I would be doing a disservice to this church to live a life, a backslidden life, a cold-hearted Christian life, a life with a bunch of personal sins hidden in stockpile. And so, folks, listen to me. The need comes unexpectedly sometimes. Let me show you this about the need. The need was genuine. The need was genuine. Now, folks, there's a difference between a need and a want. Are you still out there? Help me out this morning. Okay. The need was genuine. I'm not saying that you can't sometimes go to ask God for something that you want. Come on, when you were a kid, did you ever go to your parents and ask them for something you just wanted? I did. I think about every day. And sometimes my dad, he just wasn't always open to my requests. And there's nothing wrong with that. Aren't you glad that God sometimes just spoils his children? Amen. Amen. He just spoils us. Sometimes he probably up in heaven shakes his head at Jerry Ross and says, he don't really need that, but the poor pathetic thing. I probably wouldn't answer his prayer, but he married such a good woman. I'll tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and give it to him anyway. And aren't you glad that God just sometimes just gives you something because he loves you? And it didn't hurt anything, and it made you happy. Come on, parents. Don't you sometimes just give something to your kids? They didn't have to have it, but just to say I love you. I just want to let you know I love you. So there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what, folks? Sometimes we treat wants like needs. We get things confused sometimes. And God's not under any contract, any obligation. You can't find a verse in the Scripture that you can point at and say God's under any obligation to provide my wants. But you can go to promises where he says, I will supply your needs. And so don't get upset at God. You know, some of you that are praying for that 2012 Ford four-wheel drive quad cab pickup truck, and you say, but I need it. Probably not. Probably not. And the need, let me say this also, the need was unselfish. Now look up here and let me just teach you something. Preacher, is it ever wrong to pray for something for me? I can show you in the Bible where God says there's some things you should pray for you. But you know what? I got to thinking about this week, and I went back and restudied that. And here's the thing. If you can find something and I'm wrong on this, come see me. I'm open to it. I may have missed something. But even the things that we pray for ourselves ought to be so that we can have the wherewithal to help others. Okay, well, the Bible says, if any man lack it, wisdom, let him ask of God. So it's nothing wrong with me praying for wisdom. Yes, that's exactly right. And do we need it? Amen. But why do we need wisdom? So that we can have the wherewithal to be a blessing to somebody else. Why pray for strength? So that I can have the wherewithal to be a blessing to someone else. Why pray for resources? Oh, so that I can stockpile toys? So that I can have the wherewithal to be a blessing to someone else. So I'm going to say this. Yes, I think it's wrong to pray selfish prayers. This man did not wake up his friend at midnight because he woke up with his own stomach growling. He woke it up because here was a friend that had a need. Here was a friend that had resources. And he wanted the resources so that he could take it over and give it to the person that had the need. Well, did you get that? Prayer ultimately should be, God, you have all resources. And here's somebody that has a need. Lord, would you give me those resources so that I could supply their need? And that's exactly the prayer, kind of prayer that we see in this parable. Let's move quickly along. The prayer was the result of an unexpected need. The prayer was specific in its direction and dictation. You notice this? I like this. The man didn't say, Lord, just give me a friend, lend me some food. Friend, lend me some groceries. He was very specific in what he asked for. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Well, there's so much we can learn from that little phrase. The prayer was directed to a friend. You know, remember, folks, don't forget this. Jesus is teaching them how to. So he says, now during the model prayer, he says, you go and say, Our Father. Because if you're saved, you have the right to call God Father. But if you have a need and you want an answer, you can use the term. Well, preacher, I'll tell you what I'm saying. Good, good. Is God your friend? And are you a friend to God? Could you go to prayer right now? Come on, this is good for us. It's Sunday morning. We're not here just to sit and endure. We're here to learn, hopefully. Could you right now? I mean, if the service was interrupted and an usher had such a pressing need that he said, preacher, I never do this. But the church needs to know of something that happened. And we need an answer now. Could you right now slip to your knees at your pew and say, friend. 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 Now, I'm not going to take the time to study that out, but you ought to study that out. You see, Jesus offers several degrees of intimate relationship to us depending on what type of price we're willing to pay. As Christians, to have that type of an intimate relationship. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. You know, let me say this, folks. We do too much general praying. We ought to do some specific praying. If you're praying general prayers, how do you know if they get answered? But you go in the prayer closet and you pray specific prayers. God, I don't need some bread. I need 3 loaves. When those 3 loaves come, your faith is going to soar because you're going to see that God heard your request and answered it very specifically. Now, I want the Church of Jesus Christ to get on praying ground, and then I want you to be bold enough to go very specifically and begin to ask God for very specific things so that your faith will be built as God answers you specifically. And when you start down that road, you know what? You're not going to need a whole lot of preaching on praying and telling you to pray and browbeating you for not praying and spanking you some for not. You know what? You start down that road, you're going to want. You're going to, listen, you're going to say, let me get to the prayer closet today. I can't wait to see what God's going to do tomorrow. Because he said that with what you ask for secretly in that prayer closet, God will reward you openly if it's within the will of God. The request, let me point this out, was initially refused. And here's verse 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Now, at times, we're going to bring a request to God, and you know what? We're not going to get the answer in the same time period that we want it. Have you ever prayed and asked for something, and the initial response was dead silence? Have you ever prayed and asked for something and thought, well, surely tomorrow, surely the next day, and Sometimes God just chooses for a while not to answer us. You see, a lot of times we're focused on our need. A need comes into our life and I need this from God. And my goodness sake, so I need to rush to God and I need to, oh God, I need this. And the thing that we're focused on is not the thing that God's focused on. See, a lot of times God looks at the big picture. He's allowed that need to come into our life to put something in us. And a quick answer and a quick cure to that problem would not build in us what he's trying to build in us. So the Lord at times, sometimes just delays the answer. Sometimes gets quiet. Sometimes says not now. Sometimes just sets back and sees whether or not we'll keep asking. Which brings us to the doctrine of importunity. The request was eventually granted, though he will not rise, verse number 8, and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. Preacher, what does that mean? That word finds its basis in the idea of repetition, in the idea of of refusing to surrender, refusing to quit asking because of his importunity. The answer came. He finally got out of bed. He finally got the three loaves. He finally opened the door. He finally said, "Here, now let me sleep." Say, what is importunity? Importunity means that you are going to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask, and you're not going to quit asking until one of two things happen. Number one, you get your answer. Or number two, God comes to you and says, "You need to stop asking for that because that's not within my will." And by the way, sometimes God does that. Have you ever had that happen in your life? Paul did. He had a thorn in the flesh. He went three times. Importunity. He went three times and asked God, "Remove this thorn in the flesh." And finally God came down and said, "Son, listen to me. I don't want you to pray that anymore. Because there's a reason that it's there. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now listen, I don't want you to ask me anymore to remove it. I want you to find the grace and accept the grace to live with it." And there's times where God will come to you and say, "You need to stop praying and asking that. You need to discover the grace that I have available to you to be able to deal with that situation." And so keep praying. I keep praying until God says stop. But God a lot of times will give us what we're asking for, but he is going to see if we're willing to practice importunity. That's why the Bible says in verse 9, it follows up, "And I say unto you, ask." And that word ask, if you do the word study there, it's talking about a repetition. Ask and ask and ask and ask and ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek and seek and seek and seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. How many of you, when you go to a door and you want to see somebody and you want somebody to come to the door, walks up and goes like this? But yet that's how we ask. That's a lot of times how we seek. If you want an answer, you better do some knocking. And they don't come to the door. So you think, well, they must be in the back of the house. And if you know their home and you really need them to come to the door, it's amazing. You can actually shake a house on its foundations with a good old-fashioned Baptist knock. You can make the windows rattle. You can make the front part of the house, if it's got a porch, it kinds of, And I guarantee you, sooner or later, they're probably going to come. Now, they may come mad, but they're going to come. And that's what God is saying here. He's saying, listen, I want you to ask me, but I want you to keep asking me. You know what? I'm so glad that I got to watch my mom and dad get a burden for their lost brothers and sisters. See, folks, me and David and Bobby and Lori, we're second generation Christians. We weren't saved out of a lost family. Thank God mom and dad was saved. Thank God brothers and sisters, sister was saved. But my mom and dad, you know, they were the first one out of their clan to be saved. I watched my mom pray for her sister, for Aunt Lenny, pray for her for 25 years. For 25 years, God just kept going and saying, I'm sorry, my mom just kept going to God saying, just kept asking, 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 and then seeking, which means she went and tried to witness to her and tried to witness to her and tried to witness to her. And knocking, one of the sweetest things that I got to experience in the homegoing of Dad was the hospital visits by his brother, in particular, Uncle Herschel. And you know what? It was Uncle Herschel that walked in the room and before he left said, "Let's pray." It was Uncle Herschel that stopped me by the elevator one day and said, "Jerry, let's spend some time praying right now," and led me in prayer. Now, folks, you got to understand, this was one of Dad's brothers who, 25 years ago, if my dad would try to witness at a reunion, would get mad and leave the room. Have you stopped praying for somebody? Is this how you've tried to get one of your family members saved? You know what God says? If you're serious about something, you'll keep coming. What is importunity? What is importunity? This is what it is. Friend, wake up.
Lend me, I need 3 loaves. I've got a friend at midnight that's come at midnight. I don't have anything to give him. And the answer comes out, hey, good night. I'm already in bed. The kids are in bed. The lights are out. Go away. Come back in the morning. Right there, you got to decide how you're going to pray. Because sometimes it seems like God didn't hear you or he said no. But you know what? If you need something, God really is only saying, I'm delaying the answer to see whether or not you will practice importunity. Say, why did that man finally get out of bed? You know why? Because he wasn't going to get any sleep till he did. Because that man said, no, wait a minute. I need 3 loaves. I know you got 3 loaves. Come on. Wake up. Listen, I'm trying to sleep. Come on. Give me 3 loaves. It isn't going to take but a couple of them. Please. Please, I'm asking you 3 loaves. I'm not asking for me. I've got a friend that needs them. Please. Hey, give me 3. You know what? After about 10 or 15 minutes of that, in order to get some sleep, you'll get out of bed and get those loaves and give it to them. Now, let me bring you to the very end because I don't want to put God in a bad light. The last few verses talks about our Maker's character. The character of Almighty God. I didn't have the time to go there, but we could have read the illustration of the unjust judge in Luke chapter 18. And by the way, very similar type of a parable. An unjust judge. A widow was wronged. She goes to the judge. And by the way, she was wronged and the wrong needed to be righted. And so she goes to the judge. But the judge, he's unjust. He don't care. He's not there for the right reason. But the Bible says because she kept asking, finally he gave her what he wanted. Now look up here and let me help you. Because I don't want to put God in a bad light. We see in the parable that we read here of the friend coming at midnight, we see that the first person that was being asked was a sleeping friend. A sleeping friend. But let me tell you this about God. The Bible says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. In Luke chapter 18, it's the unjust judge. But my Bible says, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And then the last portion of Scripture here talks about a sinful or an evil father. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know what God is teaching us is this. He's saying, now listen, I'm going to tell you a story. But don't think for 1 minute that God is like that lazy, slothful neighbor. He's not. And the reason he gave that parable in that light is if a lazy, slothful man will respond to importunity, don't you think a loving God that never slumbers or sleep will respond to importunity? If an unjust judge will respond to importunity, don't you think a heavenly Father that wants to answer your prayers anyway, don't you think he will? If a selfish, sinful, sometimes evil father will respond properly to the request of his children, don't you think a God who is holy and righteous and loving will also respond? Is there a prayer that you need answered? Wait a minute, I'm not talking about selfish, I'm not talking about silly, I'm not talking about foolish stuff, I'm not talking about consuming it upon your own lust. Is there something that somebody needs? You know somebody that hasn't. Isn't it a wonderful thing to go before God in intercessory prayer? Is there a member of your family that's lost and they need salvation? You know somebody that hasn't. Isn't it time to start going back to the prayer closet and just not getting off your knees? I mean, day in, day out, till God says, okay, 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 because of your importunity, you know what, I'm going to do this thing for you. Who is it in your life has a special need? Is there a family member that has a special need? I promise you there's somebody that can meet that need. Is there a prayer request that God would sanctify an okay, that would be within his will? Is there somebody in your life that has a need? Is there somebody here that needs to be prayed for? I hope that you've learned a little bit about Jesus and prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, your blessing and help upon these. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us. Help us this morning as we learned about a
a loving Heavenly Father who sent His Son Jesus to die on Calvary's cross. Lord, I would pray, dear God, for the needs of the hearts of men and ladies in this room. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let me just ask you a couple questions. Say, preacher, I have a need this morning, and my need is that I need to be saved. That's what my need is. I need to be saved. Preacher, I need to be saved, and that's what I need. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, and I need to be saved. I want to pray for you, and I want to be able to get you the help that you need. Preacher, I need to be saved. That's me. Would you slip your hand up so I can see your hand? I need to be saved this morning, preacher. That's me. I see your hand. God bless you. In just a minute, I see your hand. God bless you. I need to be saved. Preacher, I just need to be saved. I need to get this taken care of. Anybody else? Anybody else? How many of you say, preacher, there's somebody that I love very dearly that has a need in their life? And I don't have the wherewithal to give them what they need right now. Preacher, I just want to let the Lord know. I just want to let the Lord know that there's a need that I have. Would you raise your hand? Preacher, I'm thinking of somebody in my life that has a need. Maybe it's a lost family member. Maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe it's somebody who just honestly has a physical need. Amen. God bless you. Put your hands down. Aren't you glad that we can come boldly to the throne of grace? For those of you that lifted your hand for salvation, in just a minute we're going to stand. Not yet, but in just a minute we're going to stand. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to begin our invitation. As soon as the piano player begins to play, if you'll simply leave your aisle, come up here to the front. I've got two men waiting up here. They'll get somebody. If you're a lady, they'll get a lady to sit down with you and open the scriptures and show you how you can be saved today. For those of you that need some time to intercede for someone in your life who has a need, I would welcome you, and God would welcome you during this time to come to an altar of prayer and to lift their name up and ask God for their need. And by the way, while you're there, say, God, I understand that sometimes you don't answer immediately in my time, but I want you to know, God, I'm going to practice importunity. I'm going to pray today, and I'm going to pray later on today, and then I'm going to pray the next day, and then I'm going to pray the next day, and I'm going to keep praying. Until you either tell me to stop praying or you answer my prayer, I'm going to keep on knocking. I'm going to keep on seeking. I'm going to keep on asking. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, please, that you meet the need of the hour. Lord, these ladies that raise their hand that need salvation, I pray that they, Lord, be saved. Give them the courage and the boldness to do what they ought to do. Help them to walk to the nearest aisle in just a second. Walk up to the front. Lord, let us help them. Lord, we can't save anyone here. That's not our job, but we can take them to a God that can. And Lord, thank you, dear God, that you still are convicting, O lost sinners. And Lord, we also pray for these other needs that have been represented by uplifted hand. Lord, may we go biblically, may we go scripturally, may we go with importunity and with faith in the power and the position of God, the honor of God. So be it. May we pray with confidence and faith, Lord. May we claim the things, dear God, at the throne of grace that would be within your will, and to keep claiming them until, dear God, you answer that prayer. Use this invitation time, we pray.